Hi, welcome to the Honey Cafe. What can I get you?
Hi, I just ordered an apple cider tea, and I didn't receive any razor blades or THC in it like I thought would happen.
Why would you expect any of that?
Because the internet told me so.
Good evening, and thank you so much for joining us at the Haunted Cafe. Grab a drink and a comfy chair because we have a spooky tale to tell. But first, let's talk drinks. So, today we're actually drinking something instead of just plain old water. So, Alan, what do you have?
I have a maple bourbon coffee, black.
With a little bit of honey in it.
With a little bit of honey, yeah.
I'll put a little honey
in it. It's better than putting the sugar, plus it makes it taste good.
Yep. And then I'm drinking pumpkin spice like a basic bitch. Because it is Halloween, obviously.
Yep.
The brand that we're drinking is Day to Day Coffee. They come in like little pods. They have an Amazon page, and then they also have their own website.
Yeah, they're like K-cups almost.
Yeah. That's what they are, K-cups.
Yeah, yeah.
I think.
I think so. The little plastic cup looking things that you pop the metal and you pop the bottom, and that's how you make the coffee. Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, so we're going to try those real quick.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's try it.
I'll let you try yours first.
Mine's pretty good. I added a little bit of cinnamon milk. It's like Cinnamon Toast Crunch milk.
Which tastes absolutely terrible by itself.
Yeah. But I added it into it because it was really hot. So...
Yeah.
I recommend.
And I have maple bourbon, like I said. I really like the maple bourbon one. It's nice. It's like, it's got a really soft flavor. Like, it's not as harsh as, like, just, like, Folgers, just straight up black coffee. The maple kind of, like, softens it. And then the bourbon adds, like, a wood taste to it almost. And it's nice. It tastes like biting into...
a piece of wood?
A waffle that has sawdust and maple syrup on it. It's not bad.
Yeah, that sounds like something you would like.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So that's what we're drinking tonight. It's day-to-day coffee, so go check it out. We're not sponsored or anything right now. We're just drinking it because, you know.
Yeah, we're just here to share it with you guys.
Yeah. On a cafe, you obviously have to drink some kind of coffee or tea of some kind, So that's the point. So let's begin. Tonight, we are going to be talking about a legend that is, like, very prominent at Halloween. And since today is Halloween, I would like to take a moment to say, like, obviously, happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween.
And
honestly, it's not even a legend, it's more of a rumor.
Well, yeah, it's
legends are, like, ultimate, like, they're, like, badass, like, this is more of, like, a what?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like, an urban legend that has, like, spread throughout.
Yeah, throughout everywhere.
Basically the United States, because I don't think this is really anywhere else except the U.S.
Yeah, I don't know. Never looked into it.
Well, because I don't think Halloween is that big of a deal in any other countries. I think it's mostly Halloween. It's mostly the U.S. where it's, like, a big... deal. Yeah. But tonight we are going to be talking about the legend of people, or horrible people, tampering with Halloween candy. And we're going to talk about, like, the range of tampering, to, like, the razor blades, to edibles, to what the heck else people are saying.
I'm gonna put a toenail inside an apple and give it to a little kid.
Yeah, basically. So, before we get started, I just wanted to say that, yes, there have been cases of tampering with Halloween candy. We're going to dive into some of those cases, but...
And honestly, now, like, it also kind of doesn't make any sense now, because if there was any kid, especially nowadays, that got an apple for Halloween, they would show their parents, like, Mom, look, I got apple. Like, they would show it. They wouldn't just, like, keep it in there and hide it. They would show, I got apple. And then, like, you would... Like, if you found the apple with a razor blade in it, you would just go back to that house that you had stopped at where she got the apple, and then you could really cause some issue.
Well, we're going to get into that, because, like, there's a lot of different aspects to this legend. Because we're gonna dive into the fact that the actual cases of the candy tampering is pretty different from the legend itself.
Yeah.
And I'm calling it a legend just because, you know. So let's begin. It's late Halloween night. You've just got done trick-or-treating and you have a huge bag of candy. Which I don't know about you, but I don't remember having like a big ass
bag. Oh no, I always got big ass bags of candy. Especially where I've lived. Like you grew up in like the boonies almost. So yeah, there wasn't really too many houses around you.
We went into like the small town that was near us.
Small town. That's why you didn't have a big bag. Like all the areas that I grew up at. Like, is like those like rich people developments. Yeah, it's like the rich people developments. And we were in that small development in the back where most of the houses are half destroyed that nobody cares about, while the rich development in front of us covers it all.
Yeah, you just drove to like the next development over.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Especially like where we are now, like back at my old house, like. I grew up in like many different places. The first place was Malaga, New Jersey. If you guys have ever been to that area, there's a lot of houses. There's a lot of apartments near that area. And then Vineland, if you guys have ever been to that area, that's also a really crowded area. It's like a city almost. And then over in like Franklinville and stuff like that. And...
Yeah, so we pretty much both lived at, like, two different aspects of trick-or-treating. Like, I lived in the small town, like, only one or, like, you know, maybe, like, four or five streets to get candy from. And you basically just hop from development to development.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, yeah. So you dump the whole bag of candy out onto the living room floor, and you and your parents check the candy for anything suspicious. In my family, that's usually how it went. Was we, like, kind of, like, spread everything out and, like, picked up, you know, either open candy pieces that are, like, you know, that might look just, like, be crushed or, you know, just anything that would be normally suspicious, not even just, like, Halloween suspicious. Yeah, we would just throw that stuff away.
My family just looked for stuff that was open.
Yeah, you know, just stuff that was open. And it's not even that somebody, like... tampered with it to open it. It was just like the seal might have come undone. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that there are a lot of people that do that. And usually before the kids are allowed to eat any candy, they had to visually examine everything to make sure it looked untouched. And yeah, I was going to ask you what you did, but it sounds like we basically did the same thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
So,
and any candy that didn't have a wrapper on it got tossed away. Any candy that was open got tossed away. And whenever I had any kind of fruit or anything like that in my bag, I threw it away myself. Because I was like, this isn't what Halloween's for. Quit trying to be that person.
Did you ever get, like, homemade stuff and, like, threw that away?
I've gotten bags of cookies and stuff like that. But I never ate them because my mom was like, no, you don't know what they put in it, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, too. Yeah.
I'm sure I would have been fine because out of, like...
If you're going through the time to make cookies...
Just to hurt, like, I don't... Well, I mean, if you are trying to, like... Either way, they're going to know where you live. It's in the long run, it's really dumb, because they're going to know where you live. They knew the areas that they explored. All they had to do is ask your neighbors, hey, does this person make cookies so-and-so? Do you know anyone that makes cookies in this neighborhood?
And also, like, most of the time, you're the one that's, like, picking this stuff out of, like, a basket or whatever. Yeah. So you're going to remember, like, oh, this house is the one that had the cookies.
I mean,
like,
a lot of kids might not pay attention to that because it's dark.
Yeah.
And you can't really tell. But either way, if a mom or whatever is concerned... Yeah, is paying attention or is concerned. You just ask the people around that neighborhood if somebody in that area makes cookies. Mm-hmm. And then you go to, there's only going to be like one friggin' person in that whole neighborhood that actually gives you handmade cookies.
Like, yeah. But so what were people checking so much in their huge bags of candy? Well, razor blades, open packages that may lead to poisoned candy. And now in the more recent years, people are looking out for edibles or weed candies. Don't worry, we're going to come back to that later. Because that's like the one thing you want to talk about.
Yeah, I have a lot to say about that.
So what started all of this fear of strangers and the candy that they give us? Well...
Social media?
No, it probably started a lot earlier than we thought.
Oh, okay.
So, the actual act of trick-or-treating has been around forever, practically. You can check out our first, the very first episode of this podcast to learn more. Because yeah, we kind of got into it.
Was it's like the origins of Halloween or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's called like soul, what is it, soul caking? No, soul something.
Soul something. Huh? You guys can hear it in the first episode.
But yeah, if you go to the first episode, you'll hear it. But the candy that we know and love today wasn't actually initially a part of the holiday, obviously. No. According to the website Group History, link in the description, the fear of tampered candy and even tampered food has been a thing since the era of the Industrial Revolution. Around that time, it was actually the first time that we as a country shifted away from making everything at home for ourselves. And we started buying, like, prepackaged meals from the grocery store.
Yeah.
We went from knowing exactly where our food was coming from and who made it, to now buying products from a company we didn't know, and we didn't know who the workers were, like, who was making it.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, thinking about that aspect of it is honestly kind of scary. Like, it's a really scary change because you're going from, like, oh, Aunt Susie made this pot roast, to now we're buying this pot roast from someone we have no idea. Yeah. From a completely
Aunt
different
Susie
state.
Lost her touch. Now we have to buy something.
Yeah. Sorry if you hear my chair squeaking. I'm not trying to, but it's happening. Now, there was a time where children were actually getting sick from eating candy that was produced by these manufacturers. I'm not sure if it was, like, one particular group of kids or if it was, like, a lot of different kids from a lot of different places. Yeah. But it was happening. And at first, the kids' parents were blaming the makers. You know, why are your products making my kids sick?
Wait, because it's all processed.
Yeah.
It? Yeah.
Tests were done. Yeah, tests were eventually done. Investigations happened. They tested for any kind of toxins or poisons, industrial waste, anything that they could look for, they tried to find, but they found nothing. Except for a lot of sugar.
Huh.
Which is something that these kids have probably never had before. Like, that much sugar in one little concentrated thing.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, back then, I don't really know if there was, like, a board or whatever to kind of tell you how much sugar you're allowed to put in there.
I remember hearing on one of the history podcasts I listened to that didn't start. That I think the whole entire, like, explaining what was in the food didn't start until I think one of the presidents, I forget what his name was, he ended up having a heart attack or like a mild heart attack from eating too much cheeseburgers.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
Pretty much cheeseburgers, like how fatty the cheeseburgers were back in the day, like they didn't care because it wasn't being processed. And that wasn't that long ago. I think that was in like the 50s, 60s, yeah. Somewhere around there, I think. But yeah, as soon as that president went into the hospital with a heart attack, they said that pretty much all hell broke loose on the food market. And now everyone was looking at everything because they're like, I don't know what's going on. Why is there such a high rate of heart disease within this area? Because I think there was like 40% of the neighborhood that the president lived in was at risk of heart attack.
Yeah.
Like they've all had strokes or they've all had heart attacks. And they were just like, that's a lot for this small neighborhood. So yeah, that pretty much boosted everyone into the whole,
we need to regulate what's,
yeah, conscious
what's
thinking
in our food.
Of
yeah.
What's in our food, how it's done, what sugar content is in it, blah, 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 blah. And that was all because of a president having a stroke or a heart attack.
Yeah, and back then, it wasn't like now where you can pretty much find some kind of sugar in almost everything we eat that's processed.
Yeah.
Back then, like, you know, you're not going to throw sugar in, like, you know, some kind of beef or, you know what I mean?
No, no, no.
Like, these kids have only ever had pretty much what their parents have made or what their mom has made. And I doubt, you know, they're going to be putting all this sugar in cakes or in, like, you know, in, like, homemade stuff. Like us, we're not, the basically all the candy that's made nowadays is just, like, first ingredient is practically sugar, you know? Yeah. Like,
there's also a lot of recipes from, like, the 70s and stuff like that, or, like, earlier than that. I think you have a whole thing full of recipes. So, like, mm-hmm. A lot of them don't involve sugar. Like, it is not. And now, it's if you look necessary. Up that recipe, it involves sugar. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah. I feel like we've kind of gone into, like, a sweeter, like, dimension.
Sweeter era.
Yeah, where it's like sugar has to be in everything.
Yeah, in order for it to taste good, because yeah. we're American.
But yeah, so any of these illnesses from back then basically came to, like, overeating and the high sugar content.
Yeah.
Because, once again, it's something that these kids have never had before. Mm-hmm. So, the parents don't, like, understand it as, like, oh, these are bad for my kids. It's like, oh, well, I mean, the grocery store is providing it, so it has to be okay. Yeah,
exactly. That's exactly so what they were thinking.
That's, like, their mindset, you know?
That's almost like with the Coca-Cola company, like, their first thing that they, well, not one of the first things, but one of the ingredients in, like, yeah. the original Coca-Cola was cocaine.
Yeah.
But they thought it was, like, medicinal purpose. They didn't realize that it was a drug.
Yeah, they used to use cocaine and heroin and all that stuff.
Yeah, and that was all used as medicinal things. And eventually people separated from what makes it good and turned it bad, and that's how you get idiots in the world.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, you know, that was definitely, like, the first turning point of us being, like, not trusting the other side, you know?
Exactly.
But that's not the only thing that scared us into checking our candy every Halloween. Now, while this case doesn't exactly correlate with candy and Halloween, it did strike fear into Americans, because, you know, it's...
Americans.
Because it's one of the first times that something was tampered with from a manufacturer.
Yeah.
And the case that I'm referring to is the Chicago Tylenol murders of 1982. So I might talk.
1980s, once again. Yeah. It didn't start way back then. It started, like, recently almost.
Yeah, pretty recently.
Jesus.
And I'm gonna, I think I might dive in a little more into this. I'm not really... This channel isn't really, like, a murder
channel. Yeah, it's not a true crime story
but or channel. It's still, like, interesting.
Yeah.
So before this, candy or food tampering wasn't that big of a deal. It was something that was obviously talked about, but it just wasn't a prevalent thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's not something that everyone, like, looked at as, like, an issue. Like, I think when manufacturing, like, first came out, people were like, yeah, I'm worried about this because I don't know who it is.
Yeah.
But as, like, you know, time goes on and nothing's really happening, like, people are eating the food and not getting sick, like, they kind of, like, relaxed that a little bit.
Yep.
But then this case popped up. And basically what happened was that 7 people lost their lives due to a mysterious person placing cyanide in vials of Tylenol across the Chicago area.
Wow.
These people were just normal, random, everyday people that all of a sudden passed away due to an unknown killer. Yeah. No one knows who put the cyanide in the bottles.
Well, yeah, that wasn't a big thing that you could actually find now. Now everything can be traced back.
Well, I mean, because if you think about it, it's a plant. So there's, like, hundreds of people working at this plant. It only takes one person to put cyanide in the bottles.
Yep.
And it's not like they were, like, pinpointing these specific people for any reason. They were just doing it. Yeah.
Some people just want to watch the world burn, pretty much.
Yeah, and you said that in the last episode.
Did I? Oh.
I think so. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, towards the end, you were like, there was this Joker quote or something, right?
Yeah, it was on Batman. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all it ever comes to. With anything mm-hmm. dangerous that is in anything, it all comes down to one person with no proper intention just wanting the world to burn. That's all it comes down to. Like, they don't have to have a reason. They just want to see what happens.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
The cause and effect. But yeah, so no one knows who put the cyanide in the bottles. Johnson & Johnson was the company that was producing Tylenol at the time.
A family company.
Yeah. And they took blame for the deaths, but they don't actually know if it was, like, one of their workers or not. But I couldn't see it not being one of their workers. Because unless 7 people's families decided randomly to kill these people,
yeah.
like, you know, it's not a family, it wasn't, like, a family member dosing it or anything. Like, it had to have come from that
Yeah, and it's not, it is not like that person at the factory is like, okay, this specific one is going to go to this specific house, yeah. and I know exactly what house it is. Mm-hmm. Like, no, that's not how that works.
Yeah, that's not how it works. But the good news that came from this horrible case was that the incidents led to reforms in the packaging of over-the-counter substances and to federal anti-tampering laws, which I think that's kind of like where they started putting like the seal on the tops and maybe even the child-proofing, you know, like all that kind of stuff.
Because if you guys have ever watched GMM, and you know this, like there's quite a few episodes of GMM to where they have like an older, they get like they go to like taste test food or whatever, they get like an older candy or something like that. And it is in no way packaged like it is now. Like, it is so easy to get to. It is unreal. Yeah,
like paper. The paper most of it's in boxes. Falls off.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's just from age. But, like, most of it's, like, it was either wrapped in, like, wax paper, which you can just peel off with nothing and put it back with no reason. And it was in boxes that didn't have glue on them. They were just closed.
Unless that was just the person, like, unless it was just the person, like, who bought that, opening it, but not wanting to touch it. So, I mean, there's different things. But, all in all, like, even nowadays, candy isn't really that, like, complicated to get open.
No. And honestly, if, I mean, I'm not doing this to, like, entice anybody to do it.
Go, like, on a ramble. Or a rampant, whatever it's called. But, go ahead.
I'm not enticing anyone to do this, and I don't condone this kind of behavior, but it's very easy nowadays, especially with how thin the paper is now, like, it's pretty easy to, if you had, like, a needle, stick it in there, inject whatever into the candy, and then pull it out. Like, you would never know. You would never know
that. Yeah, I was thinking of, like, Smosh, where Garrett,
he opens it and then resales it. Yeah, he heat reseals it, that's all. I mean, they were saying on Smosh that you can kind of see that it's tampered. But still, like, we found out recently that when you were trying to create a photo album with one of those little clear photo things, you apply heat to the edge, and it could be completely open, and you could seal it right then and there, and you would not be able to tell the difference.
Yeah.
We found that out with a wood burner. Wow. With a wood burner and some plastic trying to make a photo album. I mean, it's easy to do. It's not hard. They even make things that heat seal things now.
It's like to close the bags and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like, while this was a tragic case, and it did help with tampering laws, this doesn't actually describe what we're looking for when we go looking at our candy bags. I mean, yeah, we're looking for defective candy, open wrappers, and the likes, but what the red legend really plays on is the fact that it's not the manufacturer you should be afraid of, but the people that are giving you the candy.
Yeah.
The legend more so implies that your neighbors, or whoever you see receive this candy from, could be up to something malicious, and it's an absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
But the truth is, it doesn't really happen as often as you think. We're gonna look at some quick examples.
Okay.
The first thing we're gonna discuss and get out of the way is the razor blades and apples. That's almost 90% of the time a hoax. According to the website Groovy History and the New York Times, the most cases of children discovering razor blades in their apples actually comes from the kids placing the blades inside the apples themselves.
Why would
like you not to like hurt themselves, but to like run up and be like, "Oh look, there's razor blades in my apples." It's basically a prank on their parents.
Wow. That takes a really sick and twisted kid to come up with something like that.
But
Jesus.
It's something, like, I could see kids
back especially
in the
nowadays. Back in the day and nowadays, especially
nowadays.
I could
see that happening, 100%. In other cases, the Times surmises that they were just trying to get attention. Between 1972 and 1982, pretty much every report of a child finding a razor blade in their candy apple was a hoax. Oh, wow. So, like, basically, you know.
Yeah.
And, like, my thing with the candy apple is, or, you know, the razor blade and the candy apple, I know that the razor blades are really thin, but you're still gonna see, like, the cut into the apple.
Yeah, it's gonna be slightly
like,
rotted.
You
can see it.
Yeah, it's going to be noticeable.
Yeah, especially... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say you're going to see, like, a really thin line, like, where it is.
Yeah, and depending on, like, around what time you got that apple or whatever, depending on how long your area, whatever, trick-or-treats for. Yeah, like, our area trick-or-treats for 4 hours, from 4 to 8, that's it. So if you get an apple at like 4 that has a razor blade in it, by the time it's 8 o'clock, that indent is gonna be brown already.
It's you're gonna be mushy and stuff.
You're gonna see it.
You could probably see it. I mean, you might not see it in dark, and I guess that's the thing is that like if a kid decides that they want the apple walking around, could pose that threat.
Yeah.
But, well, yeah. I mean, like that could be a threat, definitely. Yeah. I mean. Maybe don't let your kid eat anything while it's dark out.
We weren't allowed to eat anything while we were trick-or-treating.
Yeah, it's not like reach into your bag and grab whatever you want. Exactly. You know.
Yeah, we weren't allowed to touch nothing because once again, my mom wanted to go through it to make sure everything was good. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I mean that's
be a responsible parent and actually check your kid's stuff if you're so worried about it.
However, so we're gonna kind of go away from the candy apple thing because. That's, like, to me, that's, like, an obvious, like, thing to look out for. If you're getting an apple, like, check it, you know?
Yeah.
Cut it open first, and then give your kid it, you know?
Like, they were even thinking, I remember, and this wasn't too long ago, this was only a few years ago, but I remember them saying, like, oh, they're putting razor blades in Snicker bars and stuff like that. Like, no, you can see that too.
like,
stop it. Stop
I feel
it.
Like some of that, I mean, I feel like some of that stuff is just people messing around, but, you know. Because then it got to the point where it's like, oh, I found a microchip in my
candy bar. Oh, yeah, yeah. Did you know there was this giant dog inside my candy bar?
But yeah, so like, I just feel like that one is at night, you're not going to see it. But if you wait until you get home and you see that your apple's been messed with, you know, throw it away. I mean, there's not that many cases, you know. However, there have been cases of tampered candy, but who tampered the candy will shock you. So, let's go over some. In 1964, so still way back, you know, not really all that recently, a woman was charged with child endangerment when she handed out inedible objects, such as steel wool and dog biscuits, as well as a bottle cap-shaped ant trap, which was labeled poison, because I think it's filled with, like, cyanide or something like that. She was just handing out basically random shit.
She was cleaning out her closet. That's what she was doing. She was getting all the random crap out of her closet, stuff she found in her basement. She was just handing out, like, what the hell?
And she supposedly did this because she was getting annoyed that older kids were asking for free candy. And she thought that they were too old to be out. So she was just legit giving kids ant poison. Which go ahead. I know you're going to say it too.
I think it's absolute freaking bullshit that an older kid cannot trick or treat. Like, why not? Oh, you're an adult now. Buy your own candy. That's not the point. Like, yeah, I could hand out candy to kids if I wanted to, but I'm 30. I would still love to trick or treat at 30.
Me too. Yeah.
Like, at 30 years old, I would love to trick or treat. Like, oh, buy your own candy. The kids can buy their own candies. Half of them have allowances now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can get their own. Like,
and, like, that's not the point. The point is to, like, celebrate Halloween.
Yeah, exactly. Stop.
Because the whole, like, origin of, like, the soul caking or whatever it's called,
they
were adults, too, going around house to house.
Exactly.
It wasn't just kids.
Yeah, that's like saying during Christmas time, older people aren't allowed to sing Christmas carols because that's what kids do.
Yeah, it's so much better for them to be going around trick-or-treating than be doing the other stupid shit that they could possibly be doing. Like, they could be out drinking. They could be out doing actual drugs that they got from
somebody. Oh, yeah, most
definitely.
Most definitely. Like, but here I am asking for a simple bite-sized candy bar, and you're going to give me an attitude? All right, well, let me go snort some cocaine, and I'll see you in a minute. How about that?
Like, I just don't understand why people get so upset with kids.
I don't get it either. Like, well, I mean, you know damn well that there are some adults now that will have a fake kid put in there. Then that person will hand the fake kid the candy because it's dark. You can't tell. He doesn't really talk. He's nervous. He doesn't like talking to strangers. We taught him not to do that. And it could be like just one of those little statues.
Yeah, it's
one of those little fabric statues.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like, boom, they get candy. And then the guy walks away putting the kid on his shoulder because, oh, and now you just fed the adult, but you're not complaining about it. You're just like, all right, whatever. I mean, it's kind of messed up, but it's the same thing.
Honestly, like when we put out candy tonight, I mean, we're not recording this on Halloween, but when we put out candy on Halloween, if an adult walks up to me and asks for candy, I'm gonna give it to them.
Yeah, and even if they don't, we ask them, hey, do you guys want some candy too? Like, why be a dick in that situation?
Yeah, there's like no reason to. But anyway, back on topic. she supposedly told these kids that these were jokes when she handed them to it. But yeah.
Joke's on you, lady.
But it's like,
I actually like the taste of steel wool.
Yeah, right? Or I actually like dog biscuits.
Yeah.
I mean, the dog biscuits ain't that bad. Like, I mean, I would be
Link
pissed.
Likes them from GMA. Yeah. He loves the taste of dog biscuits.
And I think most kids, like, younger kids, have tried dog biscuits.
Oh, yeah, I've tried it when I was younger. It's not the best, but it's not terrible.
And some dogs get treated better than humans.
Oh, yeah.
Them little, like, cupcakes and shit.
Yep,
But anyway, yeah. So, thankfully, no one was harmed. I mean, if you're going to put a piece of steel wool in your mouth, okay.
You're like, just dumb. You are legit.
I mean,
you just...
all of those things, except maybe the ant poison,
yeah.
You're going to know that these aren't candy.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
You know, she's not disguising them as, like, wrapping them in chocolate or anything. She's literally, like, tossing a steel wool in your bag or a dog biscuit, like...
You just unlocked a core memory for me because I remember when I was younger, there was this one house every year for Halloween, and I trick-or-treated until I was 16, 17 years old,
mm-hmm.
before I decided, no, I'll stay home.
I'm too cool for it?
No. it was when I was trying to scare a bunch of little kids, and I was like, I'm 18, I'm going to scare the crap out of all these children. But I remember when I was younger, there was this one house in one of the neighborhoods we would go to that handed out... religious books.
Yeah.
Religious kids' books they would put into the bag. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this?
You're supposed to read it because...
No.
Jesus is... Yeah, I'm not...
Let me celebrate Halloween by giving you something related to Jesus. And say I'm not celebrating Halloween. But you're still handing me something for Halloween.
Yep. Like... it's dumb, but, you know.
We're all children of Jesus.
So... back off that topic. So this one is definitely messed up, and I don't know exactly how it went down, but like I was saying, the stuff that she kind of handed out wasn't that bad. I mean, if you know, a lot of people willingly eat dog treats and stuff, and
yeah.
Like steel wool, like I said, you're gonna recognize it.
Yeah.
It's not something that's
edible.
You know, it's not something that can be like kind of perceived as candy.
Oh no, heck no.
And like. The ant poison is, like, the worst thing.
Yeah.
Because if it's, like, a younger kid that can't really read the letter, the labeling or anything like that, and somehow, like, popped it open, that could be bad.
Yeah,
but, like, everything else, it was just kind of like, she was just being a bitch, you know?
Yep.
So, anyway, the next one is in 1970 in Detroit. A 5-year-old child died by ingesting candy that was dusted with heroin, can't talk. But as it turns out, one time when he went to his uncle's house, he found his uncle's stash of heroin and took one of the capsules, and that was his cause of death. The family tried to cover it up by dusting his Halloween candy with the drug, but you know, the only that's basically like the only reason why it was connected to Halloween candy is because the family tried to pull it off was that.
Wow.
I think the only reason that the police found out like what was actually going on was that the medical examiner who looked at the body actually determined that the amount of drugs in his system was way more than just like a light dusting.
Oh wow.
Basically that he ingested way more than just like a sprinkle. And it's just fucked up. Like, you know, I understand that you want to try, I guess, cover your family's tracks, but
yeah,
just don't. You know,
uncle's gonna come back 2 weeks later to like his brother and stuff like that and be like, hey, you owe me like $150 for what your kid ate. Like,
that's messed up too.
It is.
It's sad. Like, I feel bad for the kid, like, because the capsules look like candy too, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but yeah, so that one was, like, somewhat related to Halloween candy, but not really, because it wasn't actually, like,
yeah.
A piece of candy. But, so then we're going to jump to, in 1974, a man used cyanide to poison his son's Halloween candy, which resulted in the death of the 8-year-old boy. The man wanted to kill his son for the insurance money, but, to make it look like a random act, he also poisoned his daughter's candy and the candy of 3 other children.
Why?
Just to make it look like a random like hit. Oh,
trying to hide, cover the fact that you're trying to kill his own kids.
Yep. So, fortunately, none of the rest of the kids ate the candy. It was just, sadly, the 8-year-old son. Yeah. And that's what's really messed up, is because it was the fucking dad.
Yeah.
You know?
Stupid.
This legend has always been like, oh, you never know who's going to do it. It could be the stranger, the strange creeper guy that's around the corner. It could, you know, the spooky white van. But no, it was his fucking dad. Like, you're the dad, the one that you're supposed to trust. Like, the one that you're supposed to be, like, perfectly okay taking candy from. And it's your dad that's the one that did it, you know?
Yep.
I remember listening to this story on, like, another podcast. And the guy actually went out trick-or-treating with his kids. They stopped at, like, a random house where no one answered. The dad supposedly stayed behind in case the owner opened the door, which he supposedly did. And the owner gave them huge, like, pixie sticks for all the kids. You know what pixie sticks are, right? Yeah. The huge, like, they're basically
the sugar sticks. Yeah, yeah, they're the sugar powder sticks.
Yeah, they're huge, like, sugar straws.
If you guys have ever been to any beach at anywhere you go to, there will be a sugar shop that has, like, 3-foot-long pixie sticks that you can customly fill up yourself.
And I think that's kind of what it was. It was, like, a foot one or something
The hard play. Yeah, and you literally just pouring powdered sugar into your mouth.
Yeah, and that's what it was.
Yeah.
But the truth was that the dad had the candy the whole time, and he just randomly picked this house because no one answered. And, like, the police went to this house, and the owner was like, I wasn't even home during Halloween. Like, if he got it from somebody, it wasn't from me. So that kind of, like, you know, led to him being captured.
Stupid.
And all of this was due to insurance money. I can't talk. Wow. But it was all due to insurance money. It wasn't even, like, you know, there wasn't any rhyme or reason to this crime. Not that saying poisoning a kid has to have a reason, but... You know, it's just messed up, you know?
Yep. Mentally ill people.
Yeah. And out of all the well-known cases that we covered and have heard about, there's one key piece that's missing in them. Do you know what this piece is, Alan?
No.
It's missing that crazy, I can't say that word. Maniacally?
Maniacally?
Yeah, that word. I was like, maniacally.
With the maniacallys. It's like Animaniacs in a completely different country.
Yeah, that took a dark turn.
Yeah.
But basically all these stories, for the most part, are missing this horrible, crazy stranger that's tampering with random kids' candy.
Yeah.
All of these poisons have happened to a family member, not a stranger. Now, you know, there's the first one with the old lady giving, like, the stuff, but she wasn't hiding.
It wasn't drugs, and it wasn't razor blades. It was steel wool, dog biscuits, and, I mean, there was the ant poisoning.
But she wasn't hiding it in candy. No, that's the, like, key thing.
She's like, here's some ant poison for you, here's some steel wool, here you go, and here's a dog biscuit. Like, she was legit saying it.
The guy that got the dog biscuit was probably like, hell yeah, no.
I'm going to be munching on this.
Scooby-Doo-Doo.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to put on some Scooby-Doo and eat my Scooby snack.
Yeah. And I mean, it does happen to where a stranger gets the idea to hurt kids, but the majority of these cases are close family members that you're supposed to trust doing these acts. And it's a scary and true fact. And so the last thing that I wanted to talk about has been happening more in, like, recent years. And that's the legend or story of people putting edibles in Halloween treats. Your favorite topic.
Oh, yeah.
So, in 2010, medical edibles, dubbed Medibles, which I think is kind of a cool name.
Yeah.
Medibles. They started being advertised in newspapers. And as these first marijuana candies appeared, so did warnings of candy givers that would be handing them out on Halloween in an attempt to harm children. In October of 2010, basically the same year that all these edibles were being showcased, the Los Angeles Police Department confiscated various THC-infused candies and snacks from local dispensaries. And a few days before the city voted on legalizing marijuana, which did not pass at the time, the police issued a warning that these marijuana edibles could get mixed up with kids' unsuspected, like, Halloween candy.
So basically, it was literally a scare campaign to make everyone believe they were doing the right thing.
That's what I feel like. That's all
that was. It was a scare campaign.
They were about to make edibles and weed legal in Los Angeles.
And they wanted it to not happen.
Like, a few days before, and they wanted it to not happen. So they put out, like, this big campaign that, like, oh, people might put it in, like, your candy and blah, blah, blah.
And what people need to realize, too, that if this was a governmental thing, they've been doing this for years. Because I've heard on a few of the history podcasts I listen to that, like, I told you this, the scorpion grenades.
Yeah.
Like, it was a scare campaign. Like, you're tossing clay pot filled scorpions clay pot filled with scorpions at your enemies to frighten them. And then came around the legends of, like, the massive scorpions attacking towns. It's the same process, just a different method. You know, it's like you put in something that's scary, make them absolutely terrified, and it becomes this big thing. And that's what they were trying to do.
It's basically, like, the lore of it. It's like, you know, this has never happened before, but just in case it does, be scared of it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, there were no cases of anyone putting edibles in Halloween candy in Los Angeles.
Why would they?
But the police were like, hey, make sure, you know. And I was going to say, besides that one case in Los Angeles where they made it, like, this big deal of, like, oh, be careful. Mm. Putting edibles in Halloween candy on purpose is a crazy idea. No one would put edibles in your Halloween candy. Kids' Halloween bag.
You know how expensive it is? It is freaking expensive.
Well, I was going to say, like, it's illegal. It's legal in New Jersey now. Yeah. And even the THC gummies that we bought were legal even before weed itself was legal.
Yep.
And the little bottle that we have, I think it's only like 50 of them in there or something like that. Yeah. And it's like $30 or something like that.
Yeah, nobody's going to spend $30 to make your kids high and then not do it themselves. Like,
now, I can kind of see why people are a little upset by it, because the gummies look like actual candy.
That's the point.
But it's
candy
just saying,
it's candy for adults.
Like, yeah, it is candy for adults. But I'm just saying, like, I could see why, like, they're like, oh, this could possibly get mixed up just because it does look like it. And if it's not in that bottle, I don't think I would be able to tell the difference.
Yeah.
Like, if you took, because what we have, like, the watermelon ring flavors or whatever. Mm. If you took, like, an actual candy of that and then the THC gummy and put it next to each other,
you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. I don't think you'd be able to taste it. You'd be able to smell it, too.
Yeah. So. But, like, so I can get, like, that sense of it, but no one's putting it in there on purpose.
No, there's no way. Like, you wouldn't waste your money like that. Like, even like, and I'm not encouraging this, once again, I'm not encouraging this kind of behavior, but even if there was, like, if your kid happened to get, like, a THC gummy and he eats it, unless he's allergic to something, nothing bad is going to happen to him.
I think too much you could overdose.
Yeah, well, it depends on what
thing. Yeah. It depends on, like, how much the gummy is.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, some gummies and stuff might even be used to treat, like, childhood
stuff. Oh, yeah, there is. Like, there's people with,
Is it ADHD?
Well, no, not ADHD. ADHD is, used to be Ritalin, now it's something else.
Yeah.
But no, there's, like, cancer for one thing. There's also other, like kids with, like, mental disabilities that the THC droplets actually help them calm down from their state of mental illness. Yeah. You know what I mean? It calms them down. Like, there's a lot of benefits to it more than there is anything
And I feel
bad.
Like the gummies probably just help the kids actually get dose because it's fruit flavored or whatever.
And if you think about it, back in the day, it's not like people, parents can really get mad at that, because if you really think about it, look, like, with me being 30, I grew up in the 90s, all right? My parents grew up in the 80s, bubble, or 80s, 70s, or 70s and 80s, 60s, whatever the hell. But, like, the kinds of candy they had for kids back in the day is, like, they won't even allow now.
Yeah.
like cigarette candy, yeah, for example. Yeah. That was a legitimate thing, yeah, to be shaped like. It was literally a nicotine campaign for like kids to like want to smoke as they get older, but it was still candy.
It didn't have nicotine. No, it didn't have any of it. But it looked exactly like it. Like,
there was that. There was also like, I think there was also like candies that were supposed to like, or not candies, but there was like drinks that were supposed to like replicate beer and stuff like that. But there was no alcohol in it.
Even, like even nowadays we have the beer jelly beans, like
the beer jelly beans,
or and like the champagne ones. Yeah. And it's like, I know that those are still directed towards adults, but yeah, you're not going to say that, you're not going to act like kids aren't trying those.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm just saying, like, if you really think that someone's going to go and individually wrap weed gummies in, you know...
Or even give a whole baggie full of them to a kid.
It's not going to happen.
No.
It's just not. Like,
y'all may see, like potheads as complete idiots, but they know how to keep track of their stuff.
Maybe on accident, like, I mean, someone else doing it.
Maybe, like, if they don't know.
Like, let's just say, for example, like, I had gummies that you didn't know I had, and they weren't in, like, the actual bottle for some reason. Maybe I'm trying to hide them from you or whatever.
Yeah.
And you see, like, gummies just in this little Ziploc baggie, and you're like, oh, let me give them to so-and-so. Like, that I could see happening.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't know where these came from either, so I'm not going to hand them to somebody.
But it's also still not the malicious intent that the internet stories are all talking about.
Yeah.
Like, people are doing it on purpose to hurt kids. Like, it's just not there.
It's a smear. It's a smear / scare campaign. Yeah. Make people completely afraid of weed and stuff.
Cause,
like didn't work. Didn't work, by the way. Didn't work at all.
Because even if it happened on accident, like that story I was saying, like, it still wasn't, like, this malicious thing. It was just an accident. Yeah. And accidents do happen, you know?
Yep.
But, yeah, so that's pretty much the short history of the scary legend of someone putting shit in your Halloween bag. I do think it's smart to check the bag. Because you never, I mean, look, I'm not saying that it's never, ever, ever happened. Like obviously we know that people have done stuff, but most time it's relatives that are really close to you.
Yeah.
And you never know, maybe someone accidentally tossed a dog biscuit into your kid's candy bag.
Probably not even by accident, just on purpose. like that lady, on purpose.
That one wasn't that bad to me. But, like, you know, just check your bag. It doesn't take long. Just don't let your kids eat the stuff just in case there happens to be an open candy or something like that. Like,
if you're extremely worried about it, what you do, all right, is as a kid or as a parent taking your kid out for trick-or-treating, I don't have any kids.
Yeah.
But I'm just going off a common freaking sense what you should do as a parent. You don't have any kids, you keep me. It doesn't matter. Common sense is common sense.
Yeah.
But if you're absolutely terrified of your kid eating or receiving some sort of bad candy, watch the child.
Pay attention to your kid.
Pay attention to your kid. Like,
pay attention to who they're getting candy from.
And honestly, if they do happen to eat something bad for them, that's your fucking fault. You did not watch them.
Well, I mean, you know, it...
Oh, I have, like, three kids. No, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. Pay attention to your fucking kids. Get off your phone. Quit talking to random people. If you're that worried about it, pay attention to your child. Mm-hmm. Even do this. Like, here's a method. Ready? If you're in a car and you're driving from, like, house to house, or even if you're walking from house to house...
We've done that.
Yeah, we've done that, too. So, don't let your kid hold the bag. Mm-hmm. Until they get to the next house. Then give the kid the bag, have them walk over, take the candy, and then have the kid give you the bag.
Yeah, like, keep taking the bag from them.
Exactly. And if you're driving and they're in the back seat, keep the bag in front of you so that way they don't freaking eat anything.
Yeah.
And if they start whining and complaining and you get in, then you're an idiot and you shouldn't have freaking done that.
No, stop.
Look. I don't care how much my kid, if I had a child, and I may not have a kid, but the common sense, once again, common friggin' sense. If I had a child and he is whining and complaining that he can't hold his candy bag, you're done trick-or-treating. We're going home. Yeah. I do not care at this point.
Yeah.
Like, we are going home, and it's now, like, I'm eating your candy.
It's like, look, this is a rule to ensure that you're safe. So,
exactly.
That's the whole point. It's just check the bag.
Yeah, and if you're just giving in to your kid because you don't feel like hearing them whine, then you're the dumbass that poisoned your kid. Yeah. That's all it comes down to.
But it's just like, there's never been any case in this. And, like, this also brought up my idea, my, like, thought of, why are we only checking candy around Halloween? Why aren't we checking, like, other manufactured goods or other things other time of the year? Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that there are people are. Because it's trustworthy. I'm sure other people are, yeah, but, like, yeah. I know me, for one, like, unless something looks horribly wrong with something, I don't really, like, question.
No one does, because it's a safe mindset, that's why. Yeah, but, like, we all believe that nothing's going to happen because it's store-bought.
Because, I mean, not even just, like, the manufacturer or whatever. People could be going into stores and, like, messing with stuff. Like, you know, a while ago there were kids, teens, whatever, that were, like, taking scoops of fucking ice cream, eating it, and then putting it back in the bin, exactly, and closing it and putting it in.
Yep.
If you're not paying attention, you just bought, like, someone's ice cream that they... I mean, you're going to notice it once you open it.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean? There's, like,
there's even been cases of kids spitting inside drink bottles.
Yeah.
Like, pay attention to what you're doing.
And this should be a thing all year round, not even just around Halloween. Yeah.
Like, we do it. We pay attention. Like, if we even sense that something could possibly be slightly open, we throw it away.
Yeah.
Like, no, we're not even risking it at this point.
Like, we check, you know... You just check yourself.
Yeah.
But this doesn't mean that you know, you should go and stop trick-or-treating or stop...
Yeah, I'm not saying be completely paranoid about everything, but be more cautious.
Because 90% of the time with, honestly, most of these cases, or just, you know, 90% of the time with Halloween in general, nothing's going to happen. No. Everybody is there for fun.
Yeah.
And to spread, you know, Halloween cheer. You know.
Out of the 17 years that I was trick-or-treating, not a single bad thing happened. Not a single bad thing happened to the group of friends I was with. None of them got any razor blades and nothing. None of it was bad. And once again, the families, they would check the candies before we would eat them, obviously. And even as I grew up with me still trick-or-treating, I learned, like, oh, let me check this if it's open, throw it away. Yeah. You can't trust it.
Yeah, I mean, like, maybe, you know, you have to kind of, like, instill in your kids, too, to, like, not trust everyone, pretty much, and
just
everything.
Just be a parent.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it ties common down
sense.
To.
Like, just have common friggin' sense.
It's because you can't trust other people. I mean, it doesn't mean, you know, there's just different... It depends on your level of comfortableness. Like, if we had a kid and we went trick-or-treating, I would check all the candy, I would just let them have whatever's left.
Yeah, and whatever ones I liked, I would take, and I would give them the rest.
And also, I would be monitoring what they're, you know, I would check all the packages, make sure they're closed, check to make sure there's no needle marks, check to make sure, you know, there's just nothing weird, and if I don't trust it, I'm throwing it away. If I do trust it, you're fine.
There was even a few years for Halloween with us sitting out there with the candy. I remember whenever we had a fun-sized candy bar that the bag looked like it was blown up. Like, it was, like, puffed up. We threw it away.
Yeah, because it looked like it was bad.
Yeah, it looked like there was something wrong with it. We threw it away.
Like, so we're even checking the candy before we even hand it out to anybody else.
Yeah.
Like, you should always do that. It's just, you know... Quality control, basically. Because
exactly. You don't know how old those freaking candy bars have actually been in there.
Freaking Halloween candy has been in stores since, like, August. Yeah. You know? So, well,
not only that, like, even if once again, referring back to GMM, one of the recent episodes where they had the Snickers bar after 3 months or something like that?
Yeah.
3 months. Oxidization, it still tastes exactly the same. It just had a little bit of white to it. That's it. But it still tastes exactly the same.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just all your level of comfort. And, like, I feel like, and I've seen recently nowadays, people are doing what's called, like, switch. And they basically, they still take their kids trick-or-treating. You still get, like, you know, the candy and blah, blah, blah. And either that night or maybe even when they get home, there's, like, this little sign that says, like, oh, hi, I'm the Switch Witch. I'm really hungry. If you give me your candy, you'll have a surprise. And, I mean, and it basically, like, you give the Switch Witch, with Air Bunny quotes, you know, and they give you, like, a goodie basket filled with other candy that the parent bought themselves. And it's not, like... It's not, like, a bad concept, but...
I mean, it's still kind of messed up, but... It kind of takes out the joy of the kid, like, yeah, I got all this candy.
And then...
I got an Easter basket now.
Basically, I got an Easter basket now.
The Easter Bunny came by and dropped us off on Halloween.
It just has a witch's hat on now.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know.
His bunny ears are popping through the brain.
I mean, if that's what you want to do, go ahead.
Yeah,
if it makes you feel safer, at least your kid's still getting, like, the trick-or-treating aspect.
Yeah.
But it just kind of sucks that, like, people, because I know that there are people that spend good money on getting all these different candies and stuff like that, just for you to turn around and, like, trash them. It just kind of sucks.
Yeah. And our new neighbor that just moved in not so long ago, she had asked us, she was like, do you guys get a lot of kids on Halloween? And we're like, no, last year we maybe got, like, four. And she's like, are you serious about, like, a 500-piece bag of candy? And I was like, no.
It sucks.
It sucks, yeah.
But, yeah, so, I mean, however you want to do it, just your own comfort zone is basically where you have to stay in.
But no matter what, no matter how comfortable you want to be or how uncomfortable you want to be, always be cautious of what you're going to do.
Yeah. And, like, just know that for the most part, there have been no cases of stranger danger putting something in your candy.
Yeah.
It's 90% of the time been a family member or close relative messing with something.
Yeah.
So honestly, for this Halloween, you might want to watch your uncle, watch your dad.
You know that Uncle Dave that was married into the family that always smells a little odd. Keep an eye on him. Keep an eye on him.
We're joking. But, you know, all in all, just be safe.
Yeah.
And so that's it for this episode, guys. Thank you for listening. Happy Halloween. Hopefully you enjoyed it. I know it's a little weird. We kind of went off on different tangents. But, you know, this is kind of like a topic that we somewhat care about. Because it's Halloween to us recently has just kind of like gone down the drain.
Well, yeah. Because, like, I mean, not only they're releasing Halloween stuff too early, first of all.
Yeah, they're releasing stuff too early.
Like, even Christmas is kind of going down.
Yeah.
Because, like, Christmas is now taking over Halloween stuff. Like, it's been doing it for years, but I feel like
it's gotten more and more worse.
Yeah, it's getting released earlier and earlier.
Like, Big Lots, the Big Lots store near us, they already have trees and stuff out.
Yeah, yeah.
And it hasn't even gotten
to Halloween or Thanksgiving yet.
Yeah. But, you know, Halloween's kind of just, like, slowed down, and I know both of us would just like it to, like, I mean, we missed the 90s, where everything was,
free,
like,
and open,
extravagant, where, you know, people actually tried really hard with their decoration, and there still are people
that
but,
like, we try hard, with the money we have, we try to make good of what we do with our decorations.
It's just kind of gotten a little, but, you know, so that's why this was just, like, a topic that I wanted to talk about. And plus, it is still an urban legend. Like, has been around for before I was born, before you were born. Like, it's been around. So, thank you guys for listening. If you want to submit a podcast episode idea, like, if you have a legend or a ghost story or something like that,
and you are perfectly okay with us talking about it, you're not just telling us and then be like, no, I don't want you to talk about it, we want to be able to talk about it, so make sure it's something you're okay with.
So you can submit that to our Gmail, which is thehauntedcafe@gmail.com. You can follow us on TikTok. I think it's at the Haunted Cafe. Not sure, but you should be able to find us. And you can follow us on Twitter at the Haunted Cafe. Basically anywhere, you know, you can find us there. So, thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.
See ya.